หริหิโอมสหนาบาบตุสหนาบุนักตุสหริยังกะระวาวะไหเทจัสวินาวะดิตามัสตุมาวิริชาวะไหโอมชันติชันติชันติOm Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So, Bhakti Siddhanta, Adhyayana 1, Adhikarana?
1.
Okay. Page 10. Moreover, though they have attained, or this is from let's set in 11th canto, those who do not know Paramatma, who are fixed in goals other than me, engage in arguments concerning the reality or unreality of the world, and do not cease to argue. Though they achieve no results, they have their thoughts turned away from me, the Lord who gives regard. From me, the Lord who gives regard only to the devotees. So that would also be that thing of just saying, you know, about God being a jealous God. It's just, he only gives regard to those who give regard to him.You know, because he reciprocates how you do. You see him as money, then, okay, if you respect money, he'll return that. You deal with, you only have eyes on money, but don't deal properly with the money, then you don't get any return from him. You know, but the real thing is that those who approach with devotion. So then, moreover, though they have attained a path to achieve me after many births, they fall from that path.Those who know the path to attain me after understanding the meaning of the scriptures take to arguing, have their intelligence turned away from me. Para Vrita Dhyan. Who look upon my devotees and know others with mercy, swallow God. My devotees are not eager for arguments. They make their life successful by thinking of me only and not about argumentation. It is hinted that one should not waste one's life by inquiry after truth in the world through arguments. Yeah. So it's not that I have this thing and you want to go out and establish and argue and this and that. So it's not a political thing. So you see, is those things that it's that they just don't lead forward, but it's discussions about Krishna consciousness. But it's based on the principle of argumentation. So then you'll see is that.Those don't actually get anyone anywhere, and you run the risk that you can turn your attention away from Krishna because you're so much into the issue that you're discussing rather than it's about Krishna and how to come closer to Krishna. So it's not vada, you know. It'll be that jalpa. Mm-hmm. Is that they have their idea, and so they just argue. Or those ones who are skeptical and they don't know what's this or that, so they doubt everything. So they argue with anything. So then it'll be vitandi.You know, they're just arguing to win, because they don't like conclusions because they don't have one. They don't like anyone to be overly confident because they're not. So they try to break that down. They're skeptics, and so they try to break down everyone else's. You know, and that kind of various degrees of confident and lacking confidence.But in any case, you know, because you see some as, oh, but can this and that, they're always looking at how it's going to affect them, and that they have that kind of always afraid thing that they keep talking, you know. Or you have the ones that are right in your face because, you know, they don't like anybody else to be. But these are just, there's no theory. It's just about they don't understand it, they can't work it out, and they're afraid of it.So they don't like someone else has a conclusion, because if you have a conclusion, then it's natural you would look into it and possibly follow that. And since you want to maintain your independence, so even though it looks like you're the unconfident, you're the victim, but it's still about how to control the joy. Or you're in the inner of its face, you know, it's still about wanting to be the controller of the joy. You don't want it to be that conclusion because you don't want to do that. You're just more obvious. What's over, what's covert. So the thing is, it always comes back to that. And so since it's always I'm the controller and enjoyer, that means it's karma and gyan. I'm the controller is gyan, I'm the enjoyer is karma. So all philosophies, all theory, everything goes back to this thing. And so when we just argue that, like that, then you won't get anywhere. Krishna is about devotion to him, seeing it like it mentioned here. About, where is it? Yes, yeah, who have their intelligence turned away from me. Para vrita dhyam means me who look upon my devotees and know others with mercy. Right, so devotees aren't eager for arguments. If it's necessary, like Prabhupada said that in the opening page here, oh, that's the other one, that one over here, is that they don't, what do you call it? You should be prepared for doing that. When it's not that that's what you like to do, but like what Lord Chaitanya was preaching to the Buddhists, then he used logic. You know, so it's there. But it's not something that you prefer. Right? It's not the taste of argumentation. In other words, that's the taste of not Krishna consciousness. Even though you're discussing Krishna conscious topics. So, for the benefit of the jivas, the Lord teaches scripture, which is filled with the highest mercy. Some jivas, accumulating impressions, samskara, for understanding the Lord, anubhava, over many births, or jivas who have attained only great mercy, become favorable to the Lord and gain understanding of the Lord at the very instant of hearing teachings about the Supreme Lord. It is said, Kim va parer ishvaras, Sadyo hridya varudyate tarakriti bis shushru shubhis tat kshanat. The Supreme Lord becomes immediately captured in the heart of the accomplished devotee by hearing Bhagavatam and even by those who have suddenly developed a desire to hear it. Srimad Bhagavatam 112. Yes.
And because we just started Bhagavatam, I was reading this yesterday and I looked in the Bhagavatam, and I think it's a mistake. It's not Bhagavatam 112, isn't it? It's another shloka.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the reference is correct. I mean,
the shloka is correct.
But is
it still in the first canto?
I'm not sure. I didn't check it, but I looked up because we just started. And it wasn't there, so it was fresh in my memory. So
it's either 111 or 112.
No, it's probably maybe it's 1-2.
1-2-2.
Because
yes,
this wouldn't be because this wouldn't be the second verse of the invocation.
Okay.
It might be the second verse in the second chapter, because this sounds more like second chapter.
That's what I thought, but I didn't follow any further. I mean, by Sanskrit, it's easy to find what it is.
No, because this is not the one.
Not the second verse of the Bhagavad.
Yeah. Because that'll be the. That's where cheating religions get kicked out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the third ones are also.
Yeah.
So it's like you have someone not be there, Prayojana.
We just did it with the students. That's why I could actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, memory is very shallow.
Yes. Found?
Oh. Speaking English, maybe it would be different.
Could be. It could be that it's. See, is this? This is.
112. Last line.
No.
Dharma prajita kaita vatra paramo nirmatsaranam shatam vedam vedyam vastavam atra vastu shivadam tapatrayam mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamanikrite kimva parerishvara sadhyo hridi avadutra traitra kritibi tut shushubi takshanam.
Is it?
Yeah, this is the fourth line, last line.
Oh, it's just bringing out a different aspect in the translation. But it's also Jiva Goswami, he's here, so he may be also bringing out, because it doesn't have a shloka, so he's speaking, so he's bringing out the different aspects to it. So maybe it includes like a, it's the shloka, but it, or part of the shloka, but it also has the, has his purport in it.
Yeah.
Like that. Because you see there's times when the verse is quoted, and then you get the translation, and then he talks. But sometimes like this, then they'll be talking and quoting from there, and then saying where that reference is. So maybe he's bringing out the...
The Prabhupada's translation for that last line is, as soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart.
Oh, you meaning that it is said that part, that's the second one. So that's what was being quoted.
Mm-hmm. Then?
Probably then the best thing to do here, because then you think the whole thing is from here.
That was the confusion.
Is from where it says, it is said, drop that down to the next line.
Okay.
That's where the problem comes in. Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
You know. But he's quoting from there. The Lord teaches scripture. Means Vyasadeva, documented that he's the Lord. You know, so it does come in the line. Just you'll be looking for that whole thing is the translation.
Yeah.
That's why. Yeah. No, I didn't think about that. Yeah, the Sanskrit's the second one. Those persons then give no regard to other teachings. These persons, if by chance they hear other teachings, those teachings act as stimuli, udipana, for their own rasa, as if they are hearing pastimes of the Lord. An example is Prahlad, footnote 2. On hearing teachings about materialism from his teachers, he preached the glories of Vishnu. It means they take everything there and they see it in its original context. Because let's say you're teaching something, unless the guy is a complete fool. They're teaching something that has been observed, or it is traditionally practiced, and it has an effect. That's why it's being taught. At least that's how education used to work. So that it's been taught, and so in that means why does it work? Because there's some aspect of this in connection with the laws of Krishna. Those laws of Krishna are in place to create the environment for devotional service. Right? And then that goes back to him as a person. Right? So you have that aspect of the environment, you have that control of the environment, and then you have the taster of rasa. So you have the Brahman Paramatma Bhagavan. So they're hearing materialism. Right? So then for them it goes all the way back to the person. And so it will just be stimuli for them remembering Krishna. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's not preferred, but if it comes up, then it's not a problem. So when they hear that, we have to be dedicated to the process, otherwise, this business will not flourish. So you just hear dedicated, probably means like that, and the point is, business works because of dedication of the money, so if you, and the money, the power of that is Krishna, so if you're dedicated to Krishna, then they'll get the money. And then they'll think of dedication, how the gopis and the residents of Braj are dedicated to Krishna, no matter what, and then it's like that, and then it's gone. Yeah. So that's the when Prabhupada talks about seeing everything connected to Krishna, sarvam kalidam brahma. The point is that's how the pure devotees see. They don't leave it on this side. That's what jnanis do. It means they know the person, but it's about how he's everything and how the technical and how they do. It's so amazing. He's got everything is connected to him. Everything's going on because of him. But there's not that sense of service. They're just impressed. And so in that way, they're always absorbed in the Lord. But then when you go to the next level, when it deepens as a sense of possession, then they want to serve. Right? So, and then from there it keeps going. But the point is it's all seeing everything connected to Krishna. Gopis see a tree, they think of Krishna. They see water, they think of Krishna. Water means Yamuna, means pastimes there. Trees, you know, it's just a Vrindavan forest. You know, so in that way, when Prabhupada says that, that's real for them. That's not jnana. It's jnana if you're simply calculating and this and that. It's only intellectual. But when you get it all the way to the person, it no longer becomes jnana. Because generally, we'll take those things and stop at that point. Just see the Brahman aspect, just see up the Paramatma. That's maximum we're trained to is Paramatma. Who before coming to Krishna consciousness has ever taught us about Bhagavan the person? Actually, they'll say God's a person, but they're talking about God's a person as Paramatma. They're not talking about God's a person as Bhagavan, because they're not saying everything's coming, he's in control of everything and he's this and that, you know, and he's just on his own, but he has his associates, he has his pastimes. That's not being talked about. It's the only time it mentions about that is like, I don't know, half a page when you get into Adam and Eve, and that's it. That's it. You know, that they don't, no more is discussed. And it's never referred back to that it's about, you know, walking with God. Going to heaven is about you're going to enjoy yourself. You know? You know, whatever the concept is, you know. I say, sitting around in a cloud playing a harp, you know, that's one group, or just, you know, sitting around with friends and enjoying life and there's, you know, no goy. Or, you know, they're sitting around on, what is it, green embroidered, what do you call it, couches with so many girls. Whatever it is that you're thinking, but it's about you enjoying. It's not about walking with God and being with God. It's never brought up, so the personal aspect is never discussed by anyone, because it's not revealed. It's only if you have that devotional being revealed. So only through the acharyas, then we can know about that position. So therefore, when we see, you know, like, you know, the 11th canto, or you know, third canto, or the those chapters in Bhagavad Gita on the universal form and his vibhutis and all that, well, maximum see it up to Paramatma. But the point is all those remind, you know, Krishna's son, his eyes, so then is Krishna, and then Krishna's eyes. You know? Yes. Yes.
She thought, whatever you see in this world, you can think that it's a Krishna and Krishna energy. Would the vision of devotee or.
Yeah, yeah, means because they're seeing it back to Krishna. What I'm saying is for those who are not in the Vaishnava, means the direct Sampradayak Vaishnava line, then they don't take it that far back. So even you have the world religions, they'll take it back to his Paramatma, because he's God, he's the controller, he's the seer, he's the witness, he's the creator, maintainer, destroyer, he grants desires. This is all Paramatma feature, and so that's, and for them that's very elevated, you know, and that they see as a person, but at the same time as what's formed, and then they go back down into impersonal, because the personal there is just he's a person, but they don't know about him and his activities and his associates and all that. And so what is he controlling? His energies and all that, and so that's the impersonal aspect. So they tend to go back there because they want to avoid that the mundane form of God. So they understand God's not material, so the form here is material, so then we say God has a form, then that's material. So they fall prey to the same problem that the impersonalists. They want to be spiritual, so they see what's here, and then they see is that what's here causes problems. So spiritual must be no problem. So that means what causes problems? It's all the forms, it's all the emotions, the interactions, the action, the results. So therefore, then they drop, how you say? They drop that personal aspect. So it's kind of a mixed thing. They go in between the two. You know, and the closest anybody's ever actually seen then is the burning bush. You know, so Krishna appears through his energy. You know, and they're not saying that that's idol worship. They're not having a problem with that. But the point is he appeared through fire. Why can't he appear through a deity? It's just that he's there on the mountain and all that. And what else is there? You know, so fire is there. You know, so then Krishna appears through that. He can appear through anything. So then, but if he had the bona fide deity, then he appears through there. So we can see. He's a sin, it's him. But we only catch that the form is there because of the material that the deity is made from. Does that make sense? So the thing is it's just a natural thing. They don't take it that far because as it is how much they can accept. Like what you were saying is that founder of the Essenes or somebody, he had that point about pure bhakti and this and that, and so his followers, yes, and very enthusiastically established the, you know, being smartas who followed the rituals. You know, yes, we want it like that, so we have to be very strict, so therefore it's all the rituals, and they forgot about the, you know what I'm saying? So, because we're used to karma and jnana, we're not used to anything else, we're not used to bhakti. So even when it does come up, we'll agree very enthusiastically, then go more into our karma and jnana, because karma and jnana only work with bhakti. So when I get bhakti, I only know how to do karma and jnana, then I go more into my karma and jnana. And it works because of the bhakti. So we're not used to karma, misra, bhakti. We're used to bhakti, misra, karma. And that's on a good day when someone brings it up. You bring up the point about bhakti and love for God, everyone will agree. But if you don't keep repeating it, it'll be forgotten and it'll get right back into karma and jnana. You know? But now and again, there's some devotion and things like that. So it's better than the just straight karmis and jnanis. You know? So technically, Bhaktivinoda Thakura classifies the Abrahamic religions as Vaishnavas because they're monotheistic. But the understanding of the depth of Vaishnavism isn't so great. So they only go up to a certain point. So that's why the principles are there for those. That then you can discuss. Details will always be argument. You know? So, yeah, so it's fine. They can see any way that you see it back to Krishna. That's always a good thing. It's never a bad thing. Just know it, that it's coming from the person. From Krishna comes all his energies. And so one of his energies is the material energy. So that the material energy is so wonderful is because Krishna is wonderful. Right? Does that make sense? Someone has a sense of aesthetics. Things they make are aesthetic. Does that make sense? You know, someone with good taste does things tastefully. So that there's so many wonderful, amazing things, inconceivable things, that because Krishna is amazing and inconceivable. That's the point. So they're just going kind of, you know, through it, basically starting from themselves, but they're impressed with God's energy. But it should be that it's God that's the important thing, not the energy. Because if they're impressed by the energy because it's so amazing, why not turn your attention to the person as the source of that, rather than just be... Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. These persons then give no regard to other teachings. If by chance... Okay, we did that. However, disguising themselves like ordinary people out of humility, they speak as if they are overcome by illusion or overcome by karma. You know, so these great devotees, they just do as ordinary people because they're just devotees of Krishna. Wherever they're situated, they're always absorbed in Krishna, so it doesn't matter to them. right? They, whatever position, they see everything is connected to Krishna. So there's never a time when they're separated from Krishna. Right? So they don't have any problem with that. They don't have a, because they don't have anything to establish or anything to gain in the material world. So they don't need position in that. So you see, unless it's an advantage, many times you see the devotees take the position of just ordinary people. You know, it's like that one Alwar who had the position of a Shudra. You know, socially he was assumed Shudra. I think it might have been he was the one that dug the well. I mean, the pond at Tirupati. Himself, he did it. You know, he would dig, he would carry her, you know, when his wife came, she'd come along and help. You know, he would just pick and put it on the head and carry it, stuff like that. So then, you know, it took him years and years to dig it, but he did it. And so then he was walking, because you don't generally chant Vedic mantras in front of Shudras, because if they catch something, they won't say it correctly, and because the Vedic verses, if it's classical Sanskrit, that can be said in front of anybody. But the Vedic Sanskrit, if you don't get the intonation right, it actually doesn't mean what you're saying. So those notes on the words, they actually have meaning. So the same word, depending if you change the intonation, becomes a different, like Brahma. It can be Brahman, it can be the Jiva, it can be the Brahma Jyoti, it can be the Supreme Absolute. It can be depending on how the notes are, the swaras. Like that. That's why you see sometimes in some verses, let's say something like Nara Singha, it'll be short, all short A's, sometimes it'll be one, it'll be long. It depends on the grammar, how it's going. So there it's by the tone of quality. So you don't chant that in front of Shudras, because generally they're quite good at catching things, and then they'll be saying it wrong, and so they'll be getting a bad effect. So that's the reason it's not said. It's not. It means for others that the smartness of that, or people who become proud of their Brahmanism, then they think it's because they're superior. No, it's out of protection for them. You know, it's just like you don't leave knives around in the kitchen because kids will come in and cut themselves. That's the reason. It's not because, oh, I'm superior. Kids are inferior, so they can't use the knives or that kind of thing. No, it's about protection. It's rather than pride. But people would rather do it as pride rather than for the benefit of others. So what they were chanting some mantras of Rupa Brahmins, and then this devotee was walking by. Because he's, you know, had known as a Shudra and all that, they stopped the chanting until he walked by. And then once he walked by some distance, they were trying to remember where they were chanting. They couldn't remember what word they were on and so like that. So since it's that they were so bewildered and couldn't figure it out, then that devotee, you know, who's supposedly the Shudra, turns around, bends over, picks up a piece of grass, and then they're all watching him. And he takes the grass and he splits it. And then they all go, oh, and then he walks off. Because the verse they were doing, the word in there is about something like, just as the Lord splits, you know, as easy as he split a grass, then he can, you know, do so many amazing things or something. So, you know what I'm saying? The devotee, they know everything. He just hides himself as a common devotee. You know, they're from Vaikuntha. What's the, you know, the Alwars are all associates or paraphernalia of the Lord. So they're all, you know, so they know all these mantras. They appreciate just being ordinary devotees and like that, because then they can interact with people, do things, show, inspire people. And now and again you have one like Ramanuja, great big acharya and everything like that. And so therefore then everyone follows. But it's the background of all these others that make what Ramanuja Acharya is talking, you know, means you can appreciate. You can see how to apply it. So you see, it's very common they take these simple positions. Yes.
Actually, we ask about the need to use sensitive Vedic and sensitive. For example, Rishi Prashad was given in a Vedic sensitive, and Shri Prabhupada was given for everyone. Sometimes
You just, but then you use classical Sanskrit system. You just chant it like you would a Gita shloka. That's fine. But the point is you don't use the Vedic swaras if you're chanting them wrong. Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense. In other words, if you're using that like that, you're quoting it as a shloka, either you know the swaras, you say them, or you just chant it in a way that is like classical Sanskrit, or you just say it like prose. It doesn't matter. That's fine. What we're just saying is that because they would hear the tune and they'd go off and then do the tune, but it would sound better if you did it this way. You know, it's just like that one. They did that nice recording, I think in Amsterdam. They had facility for maybe it was London, I don't know, but they were chanting Bhaja Haremana, you know, but somehow or another then the devotees who were doing it decided that it would sound better, at least musically, instead of going Bhaja Mana Hude. Bhaja Hure Mana, they put Bhaja Mana Hude. Because they wouldn't get Bhaja Mana Hude. If they went Bhaja Hure Mana, it didn't come out as good. It didn't sound as good. So they switched the words. That's why it's not supposed to be used. And so when Prabhupada heard that, he said, why are they changing the words? And they said, it sounds better. So, what do you mean sounds better? The words are like this. Why would you change them? Does that make sense? So it's either it's done very paka, or you just don't bother at all and just do it according to classical Sanskrit approach. You know? But don't do it in between and make up your own, I think this melody would be better, and things like that. Because it changes the meaning. You know what I'm saying? So it's not that the verses can't be used, they would just be used in a different way. That's all. You know, if it's big festivals and this and that for the Lord, everybody hears like that, then that's it. O Lord of Vaikuntha, this mind contaminated with sin, wicked and uncontrollable, is not pleased with topics about you. It is afflicted by lust and disturbed by joy, sorrow, fear, and desire for wealth. How can this wretch think of the truth about you in this mind? Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.39. Rudriti, Srila Prabhupada. Here, Prahlad Maharaj represents himself as a common man, although he actually has nothing to do with this material world. Prahlada is always situated in the Vaikuntha planets of the spiritual world. But on behalf of the fallen souls, he asks how, when his mind is always disturbed by material things, he can discuss the transcendental position of the Lord. The mind becomes sinful because we are always engaged in sinful activities. Anything not connected with Krishna consciousness should be understood to be sinful. Indeed, Krishna demands in Bhagavad Gita 18.66, Sarvan dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishyami mahasuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. As soon as one surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna immediately relieves one of the reactions of sinful activities. Therefore, one who has not surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord should be understood to be sinful. Foolish, degraded among men, and bereft of all real knowledge because of atheistic propensities. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.39, purport. Yeah, so just getting that point that it's connection to Krishna that makes it of value. So devotees connect everything to Krishna, therefore they can, function in so many environments. But it's the connection to Krishna that makes it a value. If it's not connected to Krishna, it has no value. Okay. So one could say, everything is Krishna, so therefore it has value. But that's because it has value. Krishna, because it's his energy. And the devotees, because it's connection to Krishna. But if we don't see it connected to Krishna, we don't get the benefit, even though it is Krishna's energy. Because we don't see it that way. So, yeah. The attainment from hearing scriptures is described. Yavat prapais tu malinam hridayam tavad evahi nashastre satya buddhi syat sad buddhi sad gurau tata aneka janma janita punya rasi falam mahat satsanga shastra shravanad eva premari jayate. As long as the heart is contaminated with sin, the intelligent will not accept scripture as true and will not accept the guru as the spiritual teacher. The result of accumulated pious acts over many births is great. However, prema arises only from hearing the scriptures in association of devotees. Brahma Vaivarta Purana. So, that the people are hearing, it accumulates the pious activity. That they've heard scriptures, they've heard about the glories of the Lord, the glories of the spiritual master, the devotees. But because of the attachment to the sin and that, it doesn't resonate within their heart. But they're pious, they listen. So as you see, you have any big program, so many of the Indians will go. Or even anywhere in the world, you have big religious programs, people will go. But it's not that they're necessarily having that full faith. But they have faith in the pious activities. So, therefore, over many lifetimes, this builds up. But it's only in association with the devotees where they hear these things. Then the door to prema is open. Otherwise, these others will elevate them, and they'll move up and up in the position within the material world. But it's only when they contact the devotees, then it will have a value. Because otherwise, then everyone in the Vedic culture is hearing from the scriptures, so they're all pious. But it's only when they hear from the pure devotees, then it switches the path. Then the path has a goal as the Supreme Lord, rather than dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So. Though the final conclusion is the existence of the Supreme Lord, what is the method of attainment, abhideya, and what is the final goal of the devotee, prayojana? So here it's talking about the final conclusion of the existence of the Supreme Lord. But then what is the method of attainment? How do you gain that? And then what is gained by that? Because otherwise we'll say, okay, well, Krishna is the goal. But then we understand that's his existence. But then Krishna is the goal because of his interaction with the devotees. Does that make sense also? Because also, if it just stays on his existence, then one can come to the platform of pure devotion, but it'll just be within the Shantarasa. Because you're only appreciating how he is existence. Everything comes from him. He's connected. I mean, he makes everything function. And so that's all the farther one can get. And one's satisfied, of course. But Bhavin is this. But that position beyond that, the final goal, that's not seen. Does that make sense? That means for that person, but there's more beyond that. So what's being offered is you can come to the platform of appreciating like the Brajvasis. So. These two should be respectively taught as conclusions. The actions to be performed, abhideya, are have to go to work to pay, make the money to pay for the machine to do it for you. Right? So it's the same as, let's say, you have the rich man, he has servants. They wash the clothes, they iron them, they that, but he has to pay the servants. He has to pay the electric bills. Now we're on? Back on the air. Okay. Yeah. So then, he's establishing that he's there, and then it's a matter, okay, now he's there and that we see him as a goal, then how to get to that goal and what's the effect of that goal. So we see he's the goal, that's still part of Sambandha Jnana, because He is the existence of everything. He is the action of everything. He's the results. You know, he's the ultimate results. He's the cause of all causes. But then, Prayojana actually means prema. Abhideya doesn't mean the mechanics. It means performing those activities with devotion, knowing him as the person. You understand? So we're getting a little subtler here. Because if you just say, like before, Krishna is the goal, that it does say everything. Then in that, he's breaking it down so you know what you're actually, why he's the goal. What do you gain by that? So, yeah. These two topics were previously indicated in the teachings presented. When presenting the teachings, it is like when, hearing that there is treasure in his house, a poor man immediately attempts to find it. However, in order to prevent negligence in the attainment, the teachings are again given, specifically describing the means and goal. Right? So, it's been in the Sambandha Gyan already covers everything. That's the whole point of Sambandha Gyan. Means Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana. What actually the knowledge of it is all presented in Sambandha Gyan. You know, so Shankar, Shambhajumna, and Adiruddha are fully explained. But you have to apply that now. That's Abhideya. Hearing about it, that's not the Abhideya aspect. Applying it, that's the Abhideya. You know? And you heard about the result, what it is, but it's only when you apply that you actually get it. Just like I tell you about a nice recipe, and I get into all details and this and that about it, and the taste and what it looks like and the fragrances and, you know, what you can do and what kind of situations and what kind of people. You know everything about it. So you know there's Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana. Right? But until you go into the kitchen and start cooking it, it's not Abhideya. You have the knowledge about it, but it doesn't until you do. So then when you go there, there's finer points. Because before, I'm just going to say, make the chance to put in this and that, you stir this in and then take this, and when this is cooked for this, when you get that finish. And when you're cooking, then we also talk about the heat of the temperature, how hot the pot is, how you're stirring, what kind of spoon you're using. Does that make sense? So then, and it's only after you've cooked, then now you have a final preparation. That can now be offered to the Lord, and you can honor prasad. But by sitting and discussing a recipe, you don't get any real satisfaction. You know what I'm saying? So we're fasting on the codicil, and so we sit around discussing recipes, but it still doesn't satisfy our hunger. No?
I guess it depends whether you're a Sikh or not, because some people are satisfied just talking about stuff and then that's it. But if you going like you explained further, then you actually want to experience rasa, which is of the higher caliber. Because even in discussion, everything what we do is about Krishna.
Yes.
But then experiencing that is a different thing.
Yeah. So you see, is that from there, as mentioned, he mentioned before, is that by hearing these things, then they absorb themselves in Krishna, so they are experiencing.
Yeah.
So even just the hearing process like that can bring it about, because it is a devotional process. But the point is you have to be on that platform for it to get that full effect. So then the process that it tells you, because that is also what you should hear. So by doing that, then you're doing. So we say you should hear. But the amazing part is this bhakti is so wonderful, is that while we're telling you about how you should hear about Krishna, you're hearing about Krishna. So you're already engaged in the process, even without knowing, or thinking about it. It's such a perfect process. And you're already getting effect. You're getting that taste. You're getting these things. So it's already working. But it's just that, when the guy sits down and starts talking about this fabulous recipe and all that, and everyone, wow, yeah, this and that, once he's finished with that, and you understand it, you get up, walk out of the room, go into the kitchen and start cooking it, while they carry on talking. And after a while, they go, hey, what happened to him? They come out and see you're sitting there eating. Oh, yes, you're right, this is really good. Hey, what about us? No, you guys just talk. After explaining the jiva's cause of suffering as aversion to the Lord, with beginningless ignorance of his eternal existence, tadyana samsargabhava, the scriptures teach favorably to the Lord, favorability to the Lord, tat samukyam, which is like a cure for the cause of the illness. Right? So all suffering comes from aversion to the Lord. We'll say, oh, because we're in the material world. But why are we in the material world? Why are we on the material planet? Because it's aversion to the Lord. The great devotees come to the material world. They're not actually in the material world by that definition, because they see everything in connection with the Lord, so they don't suffer. Situations around them may be the same as ours, but they're not suffering. We are, because we're attached to it. They're not. You know? So that's the thing, is because he does, and he's, why is there aversion? Because of this beginningless ignorance of his eternal existence. He doesn't actually know who he is. If you actually understand, I'm servant of Krishna, why would you look at the material energy and think I will be master of material energy? So then the scriptures teach that you should become favorable to the Lord. So favorability, there is what we're talking about, pure devotion. Right? And then there's down where you have mixed devotional service in pursuance of that. But then you also have those that just follow devotional practices of that for their own particular benefit. But it's still favorably towards the Lord partially, because they're willing to follow God's laws. Right? And then you go down from that, people are willing to follow the economic, judicial, or other things, you know, and what's observed, right? They won't follow God's laws directly, but what's observed that works, then they make that rule. Right? If everybody crosses at the zebra crossing instead of in the middle of the road, less accidents are there. They've just observed that, that's all. And so then they make the law. It's not based on God's law. It's just, you know, like that. So then they do that, but because it's observed law, it's Krishna's nature, then it has some connection with Krishna. But it's not theistic, because it doesn't even consider God's position. Right? Then you're going to have, then down from that, then just the sensuality. Senses work means you take the nice food stuff and put it on top of your head. It doesn't give the result that you're looking for. You know, babies do it because they're not, you know, it's that they're tasting things and it's all, it tastes nice, how does it feel on their head? You know? And then there's, how does it feel, you know, what's it like when you drop it and it hits the floor? You ever seen the babies in the chair and they drop something? They don't just drop it, then they look and see, okay, what happened? You know? So they have to do these things. So it tastes nice, what about all these other experiences? You know? What about how it feels like? What's it look like? What's it, you know? What does it hear like when it hits the floor? The smoosh that it makes when it hits the floor? You know, so all these things, it's just, they're expanding out from them. So you follow the rules with taste, and then you get taste. You put the right spices together, right combinations of cooking technique, in the right season, with the right time of day, with the right people, it's great taste. Same preparation at the wrong time or wrong season, it's not great. No? You know, let's say, just for example, a slushy in the middle of winter when there's snow and you're standing outside. No? Because probably one of the main problems would be the slushy will be no more slushy anymore. It'll just turn into ice and you won't be able to drink it anyway, so it's a waste of time.
And then you try to lick it, then your tongue.
Your tongue will stick onto it. And then, you know, someone else will have to come along and pour some water or something. You know. Yeah, it's a problem, so don't do it. You know? Actually, that's the main reason you don't drink it, because your tongue will get stuck. So here, that favorability is what the scriptures are trying to do. That's why they take it so far. Even they're dealing with just sense gratification, but they show what's the proper way of even engaged there, because it's favorable in the service towards the Lord, if they ever get there. In other words, it's the situations that you would use in relationship to the Lord if you were doing devotional service. But you're not. So the Dharmartha Kama and Moksha from scripture, then is all the favorable situations according to the Lord, or if even if the situations are not, the principle is. Right? You know, your first, the highest is that the devotional aspect for the person is incorrect, connect. The next one down is the metaphysics are correct. The next one down, just the mechanics of the material energy interacting is correct. So, in some way, it's favorable. Right? Because it's all part of one thing. Bhakti is the original. Therefore, all knowledge, all mechanics, all metaphysics are all originally part of bhakti. But in the material world, then we don't see that connection. We separate it. You know, the modes of nature do it for us because we wouldn't know. That's what we want, so they do it for us. So
it's an interesting observation how devotees, because they are trained in a certain way, they connect anything to Krishna. And of course, because we worship Bhagavan form, then it's him, it's personal.
Right.
But if you ask them to explain how, because if something negative happened, it's Krishna. If something positive happened, of course it's Krishna. If it's like a neutral, neither of them, it's also Krishna. But what we study now, it's an explanation how it is Krishna.
Yes.
Because saying it's a nice sentiment.
Yes, yes.
But not necessarily, I mean, those whom I ask, they just mumble. They can't really explain it. But, you know, it's a nice...
The faith is there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then here we can see, is it Brahman, is it Paramatma, is it Bhagavan? What aspect of Bhagavan? Because Bhagavan, there's so many forms.
Yes.
So this gives you know, more solid foundation for us to understand it is Krishna actually.
Yes.
So, but I mean, it's really nice that all the devotees basically they connect all the aspects of their lives
to Krishna. Yes.
You know, to Krishna.
Well, that's the potency of the pure devotee that has done that.
Yeah.
So they have that faith that Krishna is the Supreme Person, He's God. So that faith they have, then they start the process from Shraddha to Prema. But when Anartha Nivriti, then all these attachments go, so then they can see the material energy in its natural position in relationship to the Lord. So then without attachment, then now you can start to see those mechanical aspects, if you have the, you know, the interest or inclination. So then that brings you to that Madhyama platform. Then you can technically explain it and preach that. But if not, you just have that full faith that it's about that everything's connected to bhakti and all that. You're still situated nicely, though you can't necessarily mechanically explain it. But Prabhupada also makes the point is that if you have, you know, faith and love for Krishna, then even if you don't know all the knowledge, Krishna will help you. You know, that's why you see sometimes someone who doesn't know so much, but in a certain situation, they're able to explain something to someone even very more intellectual, and the intellect catches it because Krishna helped them. And if you ask them, well, how do you say, they won't necessarily know what you said. So, yeah, so all these things are just more and more ways to connect us with Krishna. It's just like the gopis, they didn't have to study the Sandarvas to get to that platform. It's not like when you see that, you know, Vishwanath is explaining that whole process going, and then they, you know, they Shravana Dasa, you know, they hear about the Lord, and that only after studying the Sandarvas and, you know, applying that in their life, they're like that, then they got to the point where they could be, you know, get that Purva Rag and everything like that. No, that's the point. Without Scott, they just hear Krishna, they're just immediately attracted. And so it's not dependent upon knowing this. But if you ask them, because they know Krishna, they can explain all this. You know, if need be, they wouldn't naturally necessarily be talking this in just a general conversation. But if it comes up that someone doesn't understand, then they can split. In other words, if a simple presentation gets the work done, why use a complicated one? Or not a more complex one? But if the simple one doesn't because there's a doubt, then you split it. You know, you say material consciousness is a problem. People don't understand it because they think, oh, but I have knowledge, so it's not material. Then you split it. There's karma and jnana. So jnana is not connected to either. Is that, you know, so then you can get more specific because of their doubt. Does that make sense? Yeah. For the jiva averse to the Lord, there must be samsara consisting of identity with body and lack of identity with the soul. Because of this absorption in the material coverings on the soul arising from the Lord's maya, therefore the intelligent person, taking guru as the Lord and dearest to the self, should fully worship the Lord with pure bhakti. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.237. So it says, the taking the guru as the Lord and dearest to the self should fully worship the Lord with pure bhakti. So that's where the problem comes in, is that you're taking guru as good as God, right? then that means then you know from him how to worship God, and you worship God. But then taking that and only stopping there, then you have guru is God, and then you don't have to distinctly, separately worship God. And so that becomes a problem. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, because Prabhupada makes the comment, it's always servant. Just like Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Servant or Godhead. So since he is the one who represents the position of guru, that means all gurus are following in his position, that potency. Therefore, then guru may be as good as God, but they're still servant or God. You know, and we're very small. Balaram is big. However, the devotee should not fear bondage from samsara. Fear naturally is destroyed for the person who starts bhakti. Because of the false identity arising from imposition of body and senses, dvitiya, for the jiva averse to the Lord, ishad ape tasya, there will be fear or samsara. But there's no fear for person faithful to the Lord. Twad ragad gayash steinas tabad kara griham tavan mohon giri nigado yavat krishna nate jana. O Krishna, until people become your devotees, their material attachments and desires remain thieves, their homes remain prisons, and their affectionate feelings for their family members remain foot shackles. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.36. That fear of samsara takes two forms, the form of reversal and the form of forgetfulness. Reversal means thinking oneself to be the body, different from the soul. Forgetfulness means not remembering that one is soul. Right, so one is you forget that you're the soul, and then you identify with the covering on the soul. So, yeah, so these both are interesting. Reversal means it's reverse of what it should be. Forgetfulness. Forgetfulness, okay. A person becomes devoid of questions concerning the past and future, such as who am I? What should I do? What was I before? What will I be after? This fear arises by the maya with the Lord. Right, because you see, is that so that fear is because the karmis don't ask these things. They don't necessarily want to know these things because they don't want to die. They don't want to deal with the position of birth. So it's not, it means if devotees bring it up, that's the time to see people will, you know, take part in the discussion. But it's not a natural discussion. It is said, Smriti Brahmshad Buddhinasho Buddhinashat Panashati. From loss of memory, intelligence is lost, and from loss of intelligence, one is destroyed. Bhagavad Gita 2.61. Because of this, ataha, the intelligent person getting his intelligence by the mercy of Guru's lotus feet should fully worship bhajate the Lord by pure ekaya bhakti, devoid of other desires, devoid of karma or jnana. This person considers the guru to be as dear as the Lord and the self. Sardartha Darshini 11.2.37. Yes, so that forgetfulness, then we get, because intelligence means you have memory in this case. So that memory comes back, that intelligence comes back. Because it says when you the loss of memory, then the intelligence doesn't work properly. And then you fall down in material. So when you, that forgetfulness of Krishna, then you fall down by identifying with the external energy. Right? So by association of guru, that reverses it. So that reversal is starting, we understand we're not the body. We start to remember about Krishna. And then with time, gradually, it works. Yes?
It's just habit.
We've been, dealing in these material consciousness since time immemorial. It's beginningless. We can't say when it's how long we've been around. So, it's just habit we see those things. Because it's just like this. Let us say, like some people are really afraid of spiders. And the spider is real small. But they're still afraid. Now, in a previous life when you were a small bug, that spider was big and very fearful. You just see the spider there. But when you're a small bug, you see, the eyes, this, that, the whole moon. So then if you had enough of the samskara, then this life you're afraid of spiders. Even though there's no reason to be, the thing is so small.
Or else you watched a movie.
The daddy long legs that ate New York or something.
Is it possible for
devotee,
even if devotee has this surprise and they can be fear? Is it possible to use the process of devotional service to remove this fear?
Yeah, because fear is coming from anartis. And so then it comes down to you just, as the heart becomes purified, then it doesn't bother you. It's not that you go over there and pet the spider and like that, your best of friends. It's just they don't bother you. Is that what it is? No?
Do we have time?
3 minutes.
I mean, I've experienced it myself that certain samskaras appear to be like really deep rooted.
Yes, yes.
And it's like Mataji mentioned, an anxiety attack or something happens which, spider, at least you see some reason. But then sometimes it happens on the physical level and the hormones, going really crazy and the whole thing. And then I can't control it personally. It just happens. I just live through it. I'm trying to chant and remember Krishna, and then it goes away and then it comes back and then it seems like obviously it is an anartha and insecurity is lack of Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. That I understand. But when the whole thing happens, I just can't control myself. So,
yes.
So it, what happens, happens, and you have to tolerate and then continue with your life.
Yes.
And if I was thinking also, projecting into the future, it might end in this life, or maybe this anartha I will have to carry through the whole life till the end of this body, and then next life. Who knows?
That's why at the end of life you want to remember Krishna, so you don't have to carry all these
better
things.
Better remember Krishna.
Yeah, just go. Because the thing is it doesn't matter. Those things are there. You surrender to Krishna. If you can, if it's something you can analyze, so at least intellectually you understand it's nothing to be worried about, even though you're still worried about it, but intellectually you accept. But time slowly, as the heart becomes purified from the devotional activity, then this intellectual aspect will start to give some, you know, good effect. And at some point then it will go. But if not, even that, just surrender to Krishna, because other than that, what can you do? And then gradually it will go. So it's there, you just, some things go away quickly, and some things, you know, there's things that one was doing and thinking before one joined Krishna consciousness that the day you join, they're gone.
Yeah.
So those aren't very deep, right? And then there's those ones that, you know, they keep following you in the shadows. They keep looking around, is someone there? No one's there.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, when there's difficulties.
When I think, when in a normal situation, I can think about Krishna more. But if I see, for example, deep insight, I can't think about Krishna because I just focus on this.
Yeah, but the point is then when it goes, means you know that you should, so means, in other words, after it's over, right? And you can start thinking about Krishna properly again. Then analyze what you should have done. How should you have thought about Krishna? What's the context? What is the intellectual process you would have used? You know, how would you connect things to Krishna? And you do that. So next time probably there'll be no change. But you keep doing that. After a while, the memory will start to connect what you were thinking before with the situation, and slowly, slowly you can adjust it. But the point is thinking about Krishna is the solution. So in other words, you can't think about Krishna, then after, when you're stopped not thinking about Krishna, think about Krishna, that's the only solution. Do this first. When you wake up, chant Hare Krishna, sit on the bed, and think about something about Krishna. Right? So you've started that devotional process. Right? Then afterwards, then you deal with the you know, monsters under the bed. One thing you can do, get yourself some nice, you know, wooden shoes or something, you know, especially if they're a little higher, and keep them next to the bed, so then you can step in those shoes, so there's no bugs there. And if you walk, even if there are bugs, the bugs will be transformed into more of a historic kind of element rather than a present contemporary, you know, even a good pair of flip-flops. Just have some shoes there. You know, how should put those on. But make sure they're ones that are open, like flip-flops, not the, you know, the ones that are closed, because they might be inside. So. Therefore, the ones that are open, you can see. No one's there. You step on it, and then you be confident. Wherever you walk, then, you know, and say, beetles, watch out.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Prabhupada.